And they're not even starting. That's a great beginning to the show. Welcome, everybody. This is fantastic. I'm obsessed with this. You guys are doing great.
I like the rant. Ranting is fun, but also cleanses the soul.
Detroit is to be one of the best sports cities in the country, if not the best.
Surely Javi can't be as bad this year as he was last year. Surely that can't be the case.
One of the worst offenses, if not the worst offense, like in the modern era of baseball, just absolutely atrocious. He is a piece of the puzzle. He is not the entire puzzle.
Right.
He's a puzzle piece, but he is not the entire puzzle.
This is the Michigan and Trumbull Podcast with your hosts, Alex S. Freeman and Luke Giaconis.
Hello and welcome to the Michigan and Trumbull podcast. As the whole slew of folks here breathe a sigh of relief that they feel like they can talk again, because I told them not to talk during the opening credits. Joined by Luke Giaconis, as always, and as part of our annual tradition, welcoming resident A's fan Tom Shawnee from Chicago and resident nice guy Colin Lyman to the show. Welcome, fellas. Welcome to the party.
Honored to be here.
Surely Javi Baez cannot be as bad, right?
I stand by the audio clip. We could just roll it again this year. Surely.
Just keep rolling it every year.
Surely he can't be as bad this year. Luke, are you even there?
Can't hear him.
Yeah. I was muted. You know what? No. I'm so sorry.
Playing it safe.
I was muted. I muted myself because I was told not to talk during the opening, I was being professional, but I forgot to unmute, so I was unprofessional there. Apologies. Hi, boys. Welcome back to the show. Can I make a comment? We don't ever start the show listening to the intro. Alex and I just jump into it. Uh-huh. Now, I don't like hearing my own voice. You'd think after 100-plus episodes, I'd get used to it a little, but that was the most awkward 2 minutes of my life, having to listen to my stupid commentary with my friends watching on a Zoom, and then only to have myself still muted once the show actually became live. I should just jump off a building, and I think that'll be my prediction. That's my bold prediction for the year. I don't make it through this episode.
We've already gone through two extremely bold predictions. Tom burning down the Colosseum, you jumping off buildings.
Sean, yes. We didn't put that one on tape. We didn't put the Colosseum on tape for a reason. Plausible deniability, Sean. Dude.
My bad. That's
the first rule of committing arson. You don't put it on a podcast.
Everybody's against me.
You don't tell anyone.
Everybody's against me eating Twix the right way, so...
Kit Kats. They were Kit Kats.
Oh, they were Kit Kats. Yeah, you're right.
They were Kit Kats.
I don't know what we're eating.
Well, everybody, as you can tell from this collection of idiots that we've brought onto the show, it is our season predictions episode. And to start things off, what we're actually going to do is we're going to review the 2023 picks, as we never got back together to reveal a winner of last year's competition. So, boy,
we seldom do.
Settle in on the division winner's side. Who feels supremely confident that they even remember who they picked and that they won the division winner's contest?
I am
like
confident.
Tom won.
No, I think that's the fun part here is I did win the three previous years. I don't think I won this past year.
I don't think I did good with my divisional winners, and I don't even remember who I picked last year, so I'm already starting down a count. But I do feel like I did okay with the snake draft in the wins pool, because I feel like I had a lot of solid teams, but I don't remember my divisional picks. I probably picked the Montreal Expos if I had to put money on it.
Weirdly, you picked them in all the divisions, the Montreal Expos, to win the division.
No shit.
It was an interesting strategy, but it worked for you, Luke. With 45 points, Luke Giaconis picked the most division winners correct.
I did.
Your correct people were the American League West, where you picked the Astros, the National League East, where you picked the Braves, And then in the wild card, you had the Blue Jays, Rays, and Phillies, correct, in the wild card. You also had the Dodgers as a wild card team. They obviously got into the playoffs as a division winner, but that was good for 45 points in the competition, Luke. And bringing it up in proof that we can't have too much brain power on this podcast, I finished last, only getting the Astros and Dodgers into the playoffs in the correct position. Orioles, Braves in as wild card teams, mere 26 points for me in the competition side there. Tom, Sean, you tied for second place on the division winners. Colin, bringing up a solid third place finish, fourth place, I guess what we would call it at that point. But the snake draft changed everything. On the snake draft, jumping up to first place to win the competition, resident nice guy Colin Lyman, winner of 2023 season picks, followed by Johnny in second place.
Wow, good for me.
Then in third place, Luke Jaconis in third place, rounding out the podium.
Third place is still a place.
Don't worry, Tom. I'm the athletics of this podcast. You finished fourth. I was solidly in fifth place.
I was worried. I had the Mets and the A's. I mean, it was looking real bad.
It was a rough. Yeah, that Mets pick in the first round, Tom. That's probably the ultimate.
Really, goal. I only have myself to blame.
It's like my White Sox pick in the second round, which proved to be just atrocious.
Oh no.
Colin, do you remember any of your teams from the snake draft?
Not one. I feel like I remember.
And that's our champion, folks. That's our prize fighter.
Barely getting the picks that I wanted. Like, either I was right before Tom or right after Tom, and I felt like we were snagging teams from each other. So,
yeah, you guys were. I feel like that's where, right there in that snake draft. Yeah. Colin, you had the Braves in round one, which obviously did great things for you. And then the Tampa Bay Rays in round two.
Mm.
Those two teams alone did great work for you.
Yeah. Huge. Huge.
Great
shout out.
Wasn't it last year the Rays got off to like, it wasn't like a 21-3 start or something like that last year? It's insane through like the first month of April and half of May. Just lights out. That didn't hurt you. I can guarantee didn't hurt you.
Yeah, they're 99 wins. They're pretty good.
The only things I remember were I was really high on the Angels and Luke stole the Cubs from me.
Yes, I did steal the Cubs, and that didn't hurt me either because they had a solid season. I remember my bold prediction last year was I had the Marlins winning the World Series, and they did make the playoffs, but they did not win the World Series. So,
probably best value pick was Colin Lyman snagging the Orioles in round four.
Oh, yeah.
To get 101 wins in round four. Just great, great stuff. Great stuff there. But we're going to do it all again this year. Luke, how do we want to kick off the 2024 discussion?
I think just, a quick maybe kind of temperature check with the fellas here. You know, we've given obviously our opinions on the Tigers, and assuming this will probably be our final episode before opening days at the end, we can kind of round it out and give a quick synopsis of what our expectations for the Tigers are heading into 2024. But before we do that, why don't we welcome our guests and let them give some insights and firsthand looks on how they think their teams are going to fare this year. And speaking of fair, winning the gold trophy at the county fair. I don't know where I'm going with this. Tom, how are the A's going to be this year?
Gold. He's wearing gold. I don't know.
The A's are going to be terrible again, obviously. They went 50-112 last year, just for a reminder for everyone. 50 wins. They're going to be better than that this year. I think they're going to be around 60. The lineup is young and exciting. If you want a reason to watch them, because you're like, why would I waste my time watching this baseball team? late night on the West Coast. The games will be entertaining because the pitching is still bad while developing. So and the lineup is young and exciting. So there's going to be a lot of runs in these games. So it'll be some high scoring games most of the time. So they'll be entertaining to watch for the casual
fan.
Take
the over. The
over.
Take the over.
Over.
Blindly bet the over all season long on the A's.
I think the over is around 58. And I would take the slide over that. I'm hoping for 60, like I said. If they got close to 70, that would be a dream. And is it a lame dream? Yes, it is. But it's a dream nonetheless.
Maybe 77 wins before they move to Vegas?
Maybe.
Double seven?
I take it.
The A's are actually, this is not just BS, this is truth. When I'm usually at the end of the night, like I'll put on a late night baseball game before like going to bed or whatever. 9 times out of 10, I usually do for whatever reason watch the A's games. I do think that might switch a little bit this year because there's this pretty good team in the NL West known as the Los Angeles Dodgers that is pretty much an all-star cast. Ooh. That I would like to see how they're doing from time to time. I enjoy. Maybe I'm just a glutton for punishment. I think maybe watching the A's gives me hope because I'm like, well, it always could be worse. And then you watch a little Oakland baseball, then you put your head on the pillow and you go to bed.
I will say one of the most exciting games I went to was a A's White Sox game with Tom.
Gosh.
Because what, there were 20 runs scored?
Yeah, there were a lot. It was a good time.
There was probably more players playing in that game on the field than there were fans in the seats. So that's pretty
close. Pretty close.
It was close. Apparently there was a shooting that night.
Yeah, we were there. That was the night. So we were at that game.
Wasn't that the shooting where I think the story was the woman held, she snuck the gun in because she put it in her belly fat?
Yes, that is correct. And it accidentally misfired.
Right. Yeah. Well, that happens. Yeah. You know, that happens sometimes.
And that was in the left field bleachers and we were in the right field bleachers.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. We didn't hear it or anything. Yeah. And there wasn't any sort of commotion.
Yeah.
And it was towards the very end of the game. But it was, yeah.
I assume there's no commotion and it was just based on embarrassment.
Yeah.
On her part.
Well, I've been shot by the folds of my fat.
Fat gun.
And I'm just going to.
My love handle's turned on me.
just going to slowly take myself to the doctor.
Alex, that's the new audio clip, by the way, for the intro of the season. Me going, my love handle's turned on me. Welcome to the Michigan in Trouble podcast. I'm your host, Shoney. Let's keep it. Since we're talking Chicago, let's take it to you. How are the Cubs looking this season? Where are you at? What are your thoughts?
We are feeling a lot more confident because we have the best manager in baseball on our side now. That will account for about, I would say, at least 6 more wins, adding on to last year. Make the playoffs. That's just a normal prediction. That's no bold prediction. I think that I wish they would have done just a little more. Just getting somebody that will play third base every day. That's like my main focus. But now it's just, well, we're going to platoon at third now again, which is fine, but
you Evan just want Longoria. Evan Longoria is still out there. Take a flyer on old man
there
Evan.
You go.
Well, I don't know.
Respect to Longoria. He was a legend with the Rays, but
for sure.
Was.
Yeah, was. I think there's some confidence. There's some nice little buzz. It's the famous old just run it back and it'll be better this time. I'm okay with that. It was good for them to get Cody back.
You think the Cubs backstabbed David Ross? Because that was, I know it feels like years ago at this point, but that was the storyline for the first week or two of the offseason before everything else happened in the offseason. So what do you think about that? Was Grandpa Rossi, was he bastard? Did they kill him?
Yeah, a little bit. I think yes, it feels like a backstab, but then again, you're getting somebody who's just better. Who took a Brewers team for years and made them who they were And it really wasn't the Brewers roster in particular. Yeah, they had some all-stars, right? But
yeah, I think it's a, I think it, in the end, it's the right decision, even if how it came about didn't seem right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but I'm okay with it. I'm good.
It did feel like the appropriate step forward. Like, it was no really fault of David Ross. Like, he obviously, you know, had a decent season with them in the last year. I know it kind of fell apart there at the end, but, you know, I mean, it just felt like in order to really move forward, you got to look beyondward. And it was
there was just some simple things that needed to change, like continuously batting Bellinger in the fourth spot rather than the third when, you know, I mean, it showed up time and time again where it was like Ian Happ in the third spot. And you know that Cody was hot and he would get those RBIs that we needed because we had folks on base. But then it was Ian Happ and he didn't do that. Ian Happ also had a meh season, but I think he is just a decent, solid player. And I think he should be like in that sixth, seventh hole.
Fair.
I love it.
Fair.
But yeah, so I'm hoping we see those types of real kind of small changes in the batting order. But nothing really changes.
Well, we'll see where you pick them this year when it comes to the picks part of the show. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
I smell a Pirates pick coming our way. I don't know about you boys. Speaking of Pirates and doo-doo in last place, Colin, my segues are just real top-notch tonight.
You didn't want to go with, why don't we head to the south side and talk about the White Sox?
Well, I was going to go with that, but I was making fun of the Pirates, and I also think the White Sox are going to be bad, so it was just kind of a kill two birds with one shit scenario.
Speaking of fat folds.
Speaking of love handles.
Colin.
Colin Lyman.
Hey.
It's all that cash.
I feel like the White Sox are going to be fighting with the A's here to not be the worst team in baseball. We can't seem to ever figure it out since 2005 when we somehow got just a dream team together. We have some good talent, but I don't know. The guys that are supposed to be guys just, I don't know, they don't come up clutch. I guess they get their hits and stuff, and they, like, Robert goes to the home run derby and stuff, but it's just, we don't have any, like, dudes. I don't know if we got any leaders on the team. We got a couple decent names as I'm looking, but I guess maybe some young pitchers, but I don't know. I don't think it's going to be a great year. I'm hoping it's not as bad as people think it's going to be because people think we're going to be really bad.
Will the White Sox have more losses than my golf score today? Which for the listeners was 109.
Yeah. I think they will have less losses.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's only 53 wins, right?
I'm telling you, they're not good though.
I don't who do the White Sox actually have?
Well, they're not Dylan Cease anymore. He's no longer there. So
arms wise, shoot.
And I think they'll probably end up trading Eloy Jimenez or one or two more people. Gonna...
Clunky Eloy Jimenez.
Clunky Eloy, and I think Luis Robert are both gone by the second half of the season.
You could trade Luis Robert, but I mean, he's the one guy I would probably keep, but. They're going to be bad. I don't know. Probably they're going to be around the A's. I think somewhere between like 55 and 65 wins.
Legit. Yeah. Like I literally don't know any of our starters.
Yeah.
This was kind of my half and half because I know we said we're all into a bold prediction. This was going to maybe be my bold prediction, but the way this conversation's going, it wouldn't be that bold. I think the White Sox are going to be the worst team in baseball this year.
I mean, that's fair.
It's really not all that bold. I just think they're just not going to be very good. And as someone who watches a decent amount of their games, because the Tigers play them quite a few times a year, and just looking at their roster, and I was talking with another buddy of mine who's a big White Sox fan, and I just think we will look back if we haven't already, and just be like, how did that White Sox team from 2021, 2022 not just do some major damage?
Well, I think it's kind of what Colin alluded to. Just the big guys didn't play that well.
Yep.
They just never came together and became great.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, time to blow it up.
Yeah.
Literally blow it up.
I think they should have done more than they've done already in terms of blowing it up, but
I know.
I don't know if they're just trying to, you know,
Once Tom gets done with the Coliseum, he'll head down to the south side and finish.
That's
where
obviously
he
much
for
closer
Colin.
For me
yeah.
to get to.
I would appreciate
that's just a quick
that.
Red line. Just on down.
Yeah, but you can't do the home first in half prime hour. Right next to where you live. Like that's that's way
I'm
too
wait,
obvious.
I'm gonna wait till after April 3rd because my brother and I are gonna attempt the red line doubleheader. We're gonna watch the Braves and White Sox at 1:10 in the afternoon, and then go to Wrigley and watch the Rockies and Cubs. At 7:40 or whatever.
That's sick.
I got plans to do a similar thing in New York with a Mets afternoon game and a Yankee night game.
Nice.
Luke, speaking of terrible criminals, how do you feel about the Tigers?
You're using my segues. I like it. I like it. I'm feeling okay about the Tigers this year. I think I'm very optimistic, which is very scary, but I think this year there's actually just cause to be optimistic. I think the pitching is going to be there. I think they've got a lot of pitching depth. The biggest thing is if they can keep those pitchers healthy. Will Matt Manning stub his toe and go on the aisle for 9 months? Who knows? Wait to find out come April. Will Riley Green do some sort of acrobatic catch in center field and once again end on the aisle? Who knows? Check us out in April. The offense is always a little bit disconcerting me. Javi Baez has had a putrid spring training. There's no, you know, secret about it. But I like the young guys. I like Torque. I like Riley Green. I like Kerry Carpenter. I like a lot the Gio Urshela signing. I know it's just a small one-year, one-and-a-half deal, but I think he helps a lot on defense. I've always been a big Jake Rogers guy. I can't wait to see. I'm glad they're giving Parker Meadows. It seems to be a shot to be the everyday center fielder. We'll see if it works out or not. And Colt Keith starting at second base, being your everyday second baseman, I'm game for it. And I think at some point this year we're going to see Justin Henry Molloy and Jace Young, probably a Ty Madden. Don't think you're going to see Jackson Jobe, but he did have a hell of an outing in his spring training debut a few weeks ago. So we will see. I am cautiously optimistic. The reason why I'm most optimistic, and I'll get this with the picks, but just a quick blanket statement. I think we all probably know it. The AL Central is completely winnable. There is not a runaway team in that division. And for the first time in quite a few years, I feel like the Tigers are one of the three teams that you could flip a coin and say, yep, Detroit did it. They got 84 wins and they did it. Do I think if they get in the playoffs, they're going to make a deep run? I don't know. Probably not. But hey, stranger things have happened. Mm-hmm. My mindset, though, is go out, win the AL Central. It's very winnable. Yep. The Twins are the Twins. Cleveland is Cleveland. I know everyone's excited about Kansas City because they spent a lot of money. I still don't think they're going to be all that good. And I don't even think the White Sox are a major league team anymore. I like the Tigers' odds. Got to stay healthy. Offense has to produce. Fingers crossed. I'm not having an aneurysm week two of the season. Also, finish month of April with a 500 or better record, please. Thank you.
Couldn't have said it better myself, Luke.
That's what it comes down to with the Tigers, right? Is the start of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Like
1,000%.
If they, I still believe if they start strong, they can definitely find themselves in the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
But
yep.
None of it matters if you lose 18 out of 24 games or whatever it was to begin the season. I mean,
last year they went 10-17 in April. So, I mean, and the year before that, it was worse. Last year, I remember April, and we're like, all right, well, not bad. 7-under could be worse, but that's still not good. I am a little bit worried because last year they had a very similar to 2021 season. And then 2021 going into 22, I was all hyped up. They brought in Javi. They brought in Erod. They brought in Andrew Chafin. And then they were just completely terrible in 2022. So I'm hoping history does not repeat itself. But yeah, what do you think, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely feeling very, very optimistic. I think like a lot of other Detroit sports fans, I'm kind of riding the Lions wave of optimism into this season, looking at the very winnable Central that I think that the Tigers, this is my semi-bold prediction. It's not my bold prediction, which we'll get to next, but that the Tigers will not only win the American League Central, they will then win a playoff series. As we kind of go into those things, I also think the other semi-bold prediction I would make around the American League Central is that the Tigers and Royals will finish 1-2 in the division. So those are my semi-bold predictions. That's my current vibe check. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll come back with some bold predictions. Little drink of scotch and soda to get myself hype for these bold predictions as we go into them. Who would anybody feeling so bold they want to go first with their bold predictions in case they get scooped by somebody? Oh, there we go.
Yeah, Sean is the guy for this.
He's very bold.
The Los Angeles Dodgers will not make the playoffs.
That's very bold.
There's bold and there's mental illness, folks.
The reasoning behind this, Shohei Ohtani will get injured, out for many months.
Whoa.
Basically, the Dodgers will be fully injury prone all season long, and they won't ever actually get their entire team together. So you'll just have a modge podge of all-stars in and out of positions.
So there's going to be,
and they will never actually get it.
There's going to need to be a lot of injuries because, like, if you take Shohei out of that lineup, they're still the best team on paper.
They were
in
fine
baseball
last year.
That's why it's bold, guys.
We're going bold.
Like, were they in the Coliseum when Tom burned it down? Like, what happened to the Dodgers?
Sean's his accomplice. The Dodgers are like the movie Oppenheimer. Every second I was watching Oppenheimer, another famous person came on screen, and I was like, holy shit, this person's in this too? That's how I feel like it to be like watching the Dodgers. Like, holy shit, this guy plays on the team too? Also,
Mookie,
speaking of Mookie Betts.
Mookie's pitching now?
Mookie's pitching now. Speaking of Oppenheimer, they've got Cillian Murphy's doppelganger on the team, Tyler Glasnow. So, I mean, there you go. It all connects somehow. They are the
they
Oppenheimer
also have
of this
Cillian
season.
Murphy now. They just signed him right as the
Academy
show started.
Award winner. Cillian Murphy. Yeah.
I also wanted to add in, my bold prediction was more of a hope prediction.
Me too.
Yeah. But
I think we all share the hope that this won't work, but
some universe, that will happen where everybody goes injury on the IL and they can't actually field an entire team.
I mean, I've seen the film We Are Marshall, and I hope that's not what you're calling for here, Sean.
No, not at all. I still want the Dodgers to be the Dodgers. I still want them there. I just don't want them playing baseball.
Fair.
Hey, I like We Are Marshall, just for the record. My bold prediction is that that's going to win the Oscar this year, even though it came out about 15 years ago.
It's going to win the Oscar at the 2024 Academy Awards, which have already occurred.
Getting bold. They're gonna kick out Oppenheimer, replace it with We Are Marshall.
I don't know, Luke. I think that's a more likely bold prediction than Shawnee's bold prediction. So,
listen, I got shit last season for talking shit about somebody else's bold prediction. I think it was Luke's, and then somebody told me, "Hey, that's why it's a bold prediction." And I'm like, "Oh, well, that's fair."
Yeah, that's you can't make fun of Luke's. It's his show.
This is Deja Vu starring Denzel Washington.
I can do what I want. I can leave this show. I could.
Well, we need you to come back then because we have to finish the episode.
Well, yeah, I know. Of course I'll come back.
It'll be dramatic, but then it'll come back.
Of course.
Yeah, I get it. Here's the thing. Well, I do not agree with Sean's bold prediction, but then again, that's why we do it, because it's bold, baby. It's bold. We have seen, Alex, as Tiger fans, a year where just the entire team dies. And I know that because it happened part of last year.
It's every
2022.
Year,
because so, we watched We Are Marshall.
Because we watched We Are Marshall every night before game time. Yeah, that's exactly it. This year we're going to switch to Invincible, starring Marky Mark, for some better results. But no, so it is bold. I don't agree with it, but it could happen. It's not impossible that it could happen. I just think, kind of like Alex said, literally three-fourths of the roster would have to, I think, perish. And I just don't think that's going to happen.
Hey, have you seen games during – have you seen the stands during Dodger games?
That's a fair point, too. Anytime there's ever a brawl that you see on, like, Twitter, Instagram, it is always at Dodger Stadium. It's always at Dodger Stadium. They're always playing the Padres. That's always the 1-2 punch.
No, but here's the kicker. Literally. It's always Dodgers fans against Dodgers fans.
That's the truth.
There's never any rivalry with another team. It's always just – yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I like it. Colin, what's your bold prediction?
Well, mine was going to actually have to do with Shohei as well. I was going to say he's just going to play. He's not going to play well this year. But I'm going to switch it up. I'm going to say this might not be bold, so you guys are going to make fun of me, but I'm going to say the White Sox do not have a single All-Star this year.
Isn't that impossible?
Yes,
that's why it's bold.
It's very bold. There has to be a selection.
Now we're just bold, have one.
Listen, Brent Rooker was an All-Star last year.
It's bold.
Colin is insinuating the White Sox are going to be so bad. The majors are going to change the rules and say, you don't get a selection
guys,
this year.
We not can't allowed. Even pick someone. They're so
Look,
bad.
With all due respect, I saw a selection made for the 2019 Detroit Tigers. I don't think the White Sox will be quite as bad as that team. But, you know, hey, stranger
Who
things
was
happened.
It?
I think it was Joe Jimenez, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think you're correct.
I think
correct.
It was Joe Jimenez.
I think it was Joe Jimenez.
Yeah, I think he went back-to-back in 18 or 19, if I'm not mistaken.
I'd also like
so
to go back to
way...
– Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say the only way that our two bold predictions happen is if two major league teams lose the entirety of their team in the span of a season, half a season.
Also, Colin, I would like to tease apart your non-bold prediction that you backed off from of Shohei's not going to play well. What does that mean, though? Like, Shohei at like 75% of him being Shohei is still...
Yeah,
one of the best players in Major League Baseball.
I know. I think maybe it's just he's not going to quite live up to the standards of Shohei. I think.
Well,
I just think back to
$7
Mookie Betts.
Year, so,
I know that is true. So if he plays a game, it's worth it. But I think Mookie Betts didn't play well out of the gate with the Dodgers. Big city, a lot of pressure. I know he was with the Angels, but that's. They shouldn't be in Los Angeles. But I just think he kind of – I feel like the pressure got to him in the home run derby when I watched him.
Mm.
And I was like, ooh, I don't know if he's going to be able to hold it together, at least out of the gate with the Dodgers.
Now, when you say the Angels shouldn't be in Los Angeles, is that because they play in Anaheim or because you think they should move?
Yes, both.
Great. The Las Vegas Angels. Vegas is getting two MLB
games.
Las Vegas
Angels.
Las Vegas Angels.
That's what we've got. So Sean needs a tragedy, and Colin needs a rule change. Tom, what do you got coming for us?
I need a rule.
I will say that of the half dozen or so games that I attend on the south side of Chicago, zero people will shoot themselves at the game.
Oh, my God.
That's bolder than it sounds.
Oh, no, that's just stupid.
Outside the stadium, different story. Inside the stadium, no shootings.
Is that way they want to move downtown? It's safer?
Yeah.
Hey, the south side is plenty safe, you know? Just, just carry your guns on your love handles. You'll be good to go.
It'll work out.
The White Sox want to move to Memphis. Isn't that the...
No, that's just a threatening, a bargaining
thing. Nashville was the threat.
Yeah. Oh,
Nashville would be great.
You would take the South.
Anywhere in Tennessee.
I think they want to stay in Chicago. I think what they should, my bold prediction of, not even a bold prediction of what they should honestly do is pick up the stadium and just rotate it 180 degrees so the stadium is at least facing the skyline and not Gary, Indiana.
Oh,
I think that's,
I've discussed this. I think it was with Tom at the game or something. We discussed this. It was the first game of the two games back to back we went to. We were up in the, we said the same exact thing because the view in that stadium is atrocious.
Because we were sitting in the upper deck behind home plate, So if the stadium was facing downtown, you'd have a perfect view of downtown from there. And we were like, instead, we're just looking at Gary, Indiana.
Yeah. I think the White Sox should do what my high school baseball team did back when I was a West Chicago Wildcat. And once a year in the fall, they had a mandatory Saturday where all the players had to come and clean up the field. I think the White Sox should have a mandatory Saturday where at one point this year, all the fans need to come and lift the stadium and rotate at 180 degrees. It'll be a team bonding exercise. Jerry Reinsdorf can be there. Why not? Let's do it.
I'm not a fan of the team, but I'm willing to help out.
Everyone, lift from your legs, not your back, folks. Come on.
All right, Tom, is that your bold prediction?
What is that bold prediction?
Like to actually have your,
No, that is no, I don't really have a bold prediction, so that was it for me.
I love it.
Luke. Please come up with one off the top of your head.
No.
I think he got his. I think he's good. My bold prediction.
Go ahead. Okay, I guess.
Oh, go ahead.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
It's fine. No, you go ahead. Please.
My bold prediction is that Luke and I will get into a fist fight on the air. And
over a chair.
And Matt Shepard will take over the show. But my actual bold prediction is that the Detroit Tigers, it's actually not unlike Colin Lyman's, but sort of the opposite. The Tigers will have not just the one all-star, but they will have two all-star selections on the roster, one of which will be Spencer Torkelson.
Oh, I like that. Uh-huh. I like that. Is it bold? No, but I don't think it's not bold. It's somewhere in the middle. I like it.
You're telling me
saying
that the Detroit Tigers will have two all-stars is not a bold selection?
Well, Sean was talking about a genocide about 5 minutes ago, so compared to his.
No.
We begin pretty well.
Not that far. It's just a mass murder.
Just a mass murder. thank you. Yeah. No, I agree, Alex. And especially in recent years when only having the one, you know, relief pitcher or last year a Michael Lorenzen, I'm with you. I like it. My bold prediction has nothing to do with crimes. It has nothing to do with the Detroit Tigers. It's kind of on par with what my bold prediction was last year, keeping in the National League, but this time the NL West. I think the San Francisco Giants are going to win the World Series this year.
Whoa.
Be pretty bold because you got a lot of good teams you got to beat, even within your own division. Yeah. Not saying they win the division, but maybe they sneak in that last wild card spot. They went out. They got some offensive help. Pitching's a little bit shaky, but hopefully it'll be healthier as the season goes on. They know how to sometimes just be a dynamite team out of nowhere and win 100 games like they did in 2021. And, you know, they've definitely won some World Series, three, I think it was, in the last 15 years, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, I mean, I think this is the year that people will be talking about the Dodgers going in, but by the end of the year, the Giants are hoisting the trophy.
You know, that really helps my prediction. If the Giants and Diamondbacks get in.
That's true. Yep.
Padres as well. No one, not the Rockies. None of us are that bold.
Oh, no.
The Rockies.
Oh, no.